As we are journeying through the Bible, we've come now to the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to verse 14, where Paul talks about the natural man, and he contrasts him with the spiritual man. Paul declares, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual understands all things, and yet he himself is not understood by man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The natural man. What does Paul mean by the natural man? That's the way you were born. We were all of us born in sin, shapen in iniquity, alienated from God. It is the nature that I inherited from Adam, that sinful, rebellious nature. The theologians have the term the Adamic nature. And by that, they are referring to just the way we were born as descendants from Adam. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It requires a new birth. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel when I say you must be born again." Our first birth was a physical birth, the natural man, born of the flesh. But the Bible teaches that we can have a second birth, the birth of our spirit, born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Unless you've been born again, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven." So there is the natural man, the man born of the flesh, and there is the spiritual man, that which is born of the Spirit. Paul describes the natural man in other places. He calls him the old man. Romans 6:6, Paul said, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin should no longer reign over you." Writing to the Ephesians, Paul said, "Put off concerning the former manner of living that old man, which is corrupt because of his deceitful lust." Paul described the characteristics of the natural man in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, "Wherein in times past," that is, your life in the flesh, "you were walking according to the course of this world," living as the people live in this world, "which is being directed by the prince of the power of the air," Satan, "who is still working in the children of disobedience." Paul declares here that this world system in which we live is a system that is governed and directed by Satan. To live after the world is to live under Satan's control. The Bible tells us we're not to love the world nor the things that are in the world, because if you have a love of the world in your heart, you have not the love of the Father. Paul describes it as in times past, we lived after the lust of our flesh, and we sought to fulfill the desires of our flesh and mind. Pretty much sums up the life of the natural man. Living after the flesh and seeking only to satisfy the desires of his flesh and of his mind. And you were by nature, the natural man, the children of wrath, even as others. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the heathens walk," the natural men, "in the emptiness of their minds," that is, walking without real purpose and meaning in life, "having their understanding darkened. They are alienated from God through ignorance because of the blindness of their heart." What a description of the natural man. Alienated from the life of God because of ignorance and the blindness of their hearts. "Who being past feelings," that is natural feelings, "they've given themselves over unto lasciviousness to live sexually immoral lives as they are controlled by their lust." Writing to the Colossians, Paul said, "Therefore, put to death your fleshly, earthly nature," the natural man, "that is marked by fornication, sexual impurity, lust, and evil desires, covetousness," which is idolatry. It is because, Paul said, "of these things that the wrath of God is going to come upon the children of disobedience." As a child of God, you shouldn't be guilty of any of these things. Realize that these are the things that is going to bring the wrath and the judgment of God upon the world. Paul said, "This is the way you used to walk when you lived in them. But now put off these: anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man," the natural man, "with his deeds." Peter, talking about our old life, the old man, said, "For in our old life we lived like the heathen, when we walked in lasciviousness and lust and drunkenness, partying, and abominable idolatries." What does Paul have to say about the natural man? Notice here in our text, Paul declares, first of all, that he receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. He just doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness. Remember back in chapter 1, Paul said, "But the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." The natural man does not understand the love of God that was displayed when he sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. To try and talk to him about spiritual things, you would probably get just as far talking to your Barbie doll. There's just no comprehension. There's no understanding of the things of the Spirit. Sometimes they will listen to you patiently if they have any culture at all, but many times they just get angry and start shouting at you. Paul said, neither can they know them. They cannot know the things of the Spirit. There's just no capacity to comprehend. Why can't they know them? Paul said, because they are spiritually discerned. You cannot understand the things of the Spirit apart from the Spirit instructing you. They are spiritually discerned. So the natural man lacks the faculties by which the things of the Spirit are understood. With equal logic, you could say, the blind man does not know the beauty of the sunset. Neither can he know it because he's blind. The deaf man cannot enjoy the glory of the symphony because he is deaf. So the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, because the Spirit is dead. He lacks the quality whereby these things are understood. Man is a threefold being by original creation: body, mind, and spirit. God warned Adam not to eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. He said, if you do, you will surely die. Adam disobeyed, ate of the fruit, and he died spiritually. That part of man, that spirit part of man, died. That part of man where man relates to God, where man understands and comes to know God, that part of man that fellowships with God, died. So that man became as an animal, having a body, possessing a consciousness, but no awareness or consciousness of God. He was like the animals that did not and cannot comprehend or understand God, the natural man. Years ago, when I was in college, I found that I was arguing quite regularly with the professor of sociology. He was constantly seeking to put down missions and mission works, trying to go in and take our culture to a group of primitive people and all, and, you know, sort of speaking against mission efforts. And I would speak up and I would tell about the Serenoy Indians in the green hell country of Bolivia, and how that they died very young because of tuberculosis. They were nomads. They wandered in the jungles from place to place. They would just lived miserable lives. They called it galloping consumption was destroying them, and how that Jack Anderson went in and with his father, and they established this mission work among the people. They taught them how to plant corn and how to plant crops, how to raise animals. And now they have a beautiful village down there, and no longer nomads, and no longer wandering naked in the forest and just barely eking out an existence, but having a good life now. And what's so bad about that? Of course, he enjoyed it, and he liked it because it got the class all interested, because here's someone, you know, that dared to speak up to him, and he enjoyed it, and I did too, because it was interesting to challenge him. And he was a dichotomist, and I, of course, am a trichotomist. And the dichotomist believes that man is just basically body and mind. That's why he relates to the animal. He's a body-conscious being, as animals are body-conscious beings. The plant life is body, no consciousness. So the animal is one step above the plants because he has a consciousness and mobility. Well, I believe that man is a trichotomist. That is, is a trichotomy. He is made up of body and mind, but also there is the spirit. And so I would be getting into these arguments with him. He believed that the spirit and mind are synonymous, but I believe that they were separate entities. And one day, as we had had quite a discussion there towards the end of the class on the issue, I was going out of the class sort of muttering to myself, it's so clear, why can't he see it? What's wrong with him? And it was like the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, what's wrong with you? You're trying to explain to a man something that he cannot know. You're trying to explain to him the spiritual life. His spirit is dead. He has no concept of the life of the spirit. And you're just wasting your time trying to talk to him about things which he cannot know. That's what Paul said. The natural man cannot know the things of the spirit. And so you're the one, no wonder you're frustrated, you're trying to tell him about something that he can't know. So the next time the class met, a couple days later, he tried to pick up the argument again because the bell rang just as we were really going at it. And so he tried to start the class out with the same argument, wanted to get things going, and I just smiled and didn't respond to him, let him go on. After class, he called me as I was going out. He said, Smith, come back here. I said, yeah. What's wrong? Did I convince you? And I said, yep, in a way. but I didn't argue the subject with him anymore because I realized that it was futile. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. In contrast to the natural man is the spiritual man. He is the man who has been born again. That is, whose spirit has been born. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, concerning the spiritual man, Paul said he understands all things. It's quite interesting how that people sometimes have a curiosity concerning the Bible. And so they will decide, well, I guess, you know, to be cultured and to be really knowledgeable, you should know about the Bible. And so they attempt to read the Bible. And usually they don't get very far until they are so confused. They say, oh, can't understand. Who can understand that, you know? And they put it down, and that's about as far as they go. It's a disaster. They didn't have any comprehension or understanding at all of the things they read. In Psalms 25:14, we read, the secret of the Lord is with them that reverence him, and he will show them his covenant. These secret things, they belong to the Lord, and he shows them to those that fear him. In Proverbs 28:5, evil man or men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. It's interesting that you can try to read the Bible and find that it is just mumbo jumbo. But then when you accept Jesus Christ and you are born again by the Spirit, you start to read the Bible again and suddenly the book is alive. Suddenly it's speaking to your heart. Suddenly, you're excited because of the understanding that you now have, the comprehension that you now have because of the Spirit. As the Spirit begins, as Jesus said, to teach you all things and to show you all things. And so the spiritual man, he understands all things, and yet it declares he is not understood by the natural man. Worldly people cannot understand why you want to go to church to study the Bible. They can't understand why you don't want to go out and party and get drunk. They don't understand why you don't want to chase the women. They don't understand why you don't get all upset and angry when things go wrong. They don't understand why you don't worry and fret when you lose your job. There's just a lot of things about you that is a mystery to them. They just can't understand you. Often they'll just scratch their head and say, "You're weird, man." They just don't understand. Early in the chapter, Paul said, "The eye hath not seen, nor has the ear heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those that love him." Now, Paul's talking about salvation that God has prepared. He's talking about fellowship with God. He's talking about the future, the glorious things of the kingdom of God, our destiny, our eternal life in Christ. The natural man just doesn't comprehend these things. Their eyes have not seen. Their ears have not heard. It hasn't even entered into their hearts. In their wildest imagination, they haven't dreamed of the glories of being a child of God. The wonderful peace that passes human understanding when we know that our sins are all forgiven. The wonderful joy that is indescribable when we have those encounters with God, living in fellowship with him, having God speak to us and direct our lives, and just that beautiful fellowship with God, the joy of fellowshipping. They don't understand that. They just hasn't entered into their minds the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Paul goes on to say, "But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Jesus told his disciples, "I have many other things to say unto you, but you're not able to receive them now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. And he will show you the things to come." So the natural man doesn't understand, doesn't know them. But he that is spiritual understands, because the Spirit of God has come and instructed him in the ways of God, the ways of righteousness and truth. So Paul asks, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Now, the natural man does not understand the things of God, the ways of God, the mind of the Lord. So often, the natural man will ask the question, "Why did God?" Because he doesn't understand the ways of God. And oftentimes he has made presumptions about God that are wrong, but yet they create a problem in his own mind. For instance, why would a God of love, or how could a God of love, punish a man eternally because he didn't believe in Jesus Christ, if the man has never had the opportunity of hearing about Jesus Christ. Now, the inference is that that wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be just. The presumption is God is going to punish that man eternally. We don't know that he is, but that's the presumption that they make. And their question is based on a presumption and based upon the inference that I am more righteous and fair than God is because I wouldn't do that. That doesn't seem to be fair. So, the things of God he doesn't understand. The grace of God, the love of God, he doesn't understand. The justice of God, he doesn't understand. And their question usually is not begging for an answer, but it's begging for a conflict, an argument. More in the context. Why would God send his son into the world to die for sins? How can the death of Jesus Christ bring me eternal life? How can, by my believing in Jesus, God forgive me of all of the sins that I have ever committed? Why can't I be saved by just being good? These are questions that trouble the natural man. They're a mystery to him. They're foolishness unto him to think that the death of Jesus can bring me life. He doesn't understand the things of the Spirit, neither can he know in them. But Paul said, but we have the mind of Christ. We have an understanding of the cross of Christ. We have a deep appreciation for the cross of Christ. I had a fella say to me one day, oh, these Christians are crazy. They wear a cross on a necklace. He said, why don't you wear an electric chair? The cross is a symbol of cruel death. Why do people wear crosses? You ought to wear an electric chair on your neck. Well, you see, to the natural man, the cross may be a symbol of death, but to him that is spiritual, the cross is a symbol of love. For God displayed his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Greater love has no man than this, than a man will lay down his life for his friends. So you see, the way I look at the cross, I look at it as a cruel instrument of death, or I look at it as a manifestation of God's great love. The natural man sees it as an instrument of death. The spiritual man sees it as God manifesting his love towards us who are sinners in providing the way of forgiveness from our sins in order that we might know the joy of living in fellowship with the Holy God. Natural man, spiritual man. We realize that that's the sharp division between all men in the world today. You are either a natural man living after the flesh, the things of the flesh, alienated from God, or you are a spiritual man. You've been brought into an understanding of God's love, and you've received, and you've accepted that love. And as a result, you have now the forgiveness of sins and the wonderful, incredible joy of living in fellowship with God. The natural man, the spiritual man. There is no third. You're one or the other. The wonderful thing is that God has made provision for the natural man to become a spiritual man, to be born again. When Jesus said, you've got to be born again, Nicodemus said, how? And Jesus said, For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's how. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, you can be born again by believing in Jesus Christ. You can come into a whole new dimension of life, the dimension of the Spirit. No longer just living and controlled by your flesh and your fleshly lust, but now living in fellowship with God, his Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. His Spirit teaching you and instructing you in the ways of the Lord. For Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will lead you into all truth. He understands all things because the Spirit of God now opens our understanding and our minds. Which are you? Ask yourself. Do I live after the flesh or do I walk after the Spirit? Is my life absorbed in the things of the flesh or is it absorbed in the things of God? The natural man, the spiritual man, which are you? Father, we ask that you would help us today to take an inventory, to examine ourselves and to judge ourselves so that we would not be judged by you. To judge whether or not we are living after the flesh or after the Spirit. That we have the mind of the flesh or the mind of the Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would lead us into a spiritual experience. That we might live and walk after the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, be born again by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The cross of Jesus Christ is the method by which God has ordained to bring you from the one state of the natural man living after the flesh into the new state of the spiritual man living and walking after the Spirit. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, that the penalty for your sin was taken care of. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, our old nature can be put to death and we can live now in the power of the Spirit, the life that God has intended and ordained, the life of the Spirit. And it's important that you accept the fact that Jesus died for your sins to deliver you from this body of death and to make you a new person in him. For if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. The life of the flesh is crucified, and we now live after the Spirit as God intended and ordained that we should live. You today can pass from death to life. You today can pass from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the Spirit. You today can be set free from the past sins and the power of sin that is controlling your life. You today can know things that you could never know before by being born again and having the Spirit of God just open up this whole spiritual dimension to you. It's by coming to Jesus Christ and receiving him as your Savior. I would encourage you, go back to the prayer room if you don't know what it is to be a spiritual man. If you're tired of that life of the flesh and you've recognized the emptiness of it, you're looking for something that has really got substance to it, something that you can really lock into that brings you peace and joy, I would encourage you to go back and ask the Spirit of God to come into your life. And He'll begin to instruct you in God's way of righteousness and truth. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord be with you. May He strengthen you to face the many situations that you might come up against this week. And may you know His power and His love and His help. In Jesus' name.